Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
New Churches.
Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Experts. My name is Daniel Lim, and that's Todd Atkins.
What?
What was that last interruption?
I said experts?
Experts. Well, some days.
Some days. Most days.
And on some topics.
And as long as we're learning,
yeah,
that's what's most important.
All right. So before we get into today's question, I wanted to mention that Robbie Gallaty, he is one of the members on our podcast network, the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
He's the largest member.
Like Gaston.
Like
in
Gaston.
Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, totally. Oh, if you Gaston. Don't know what he looks like just imagine Gaston. Yeah. Not the character of Gaston.
No, he is much nicer and much more humble. He, however, looks like Gaston.
Yes, completely. All right, so he has a new book coming out this week.
What a guy.
Here and Now, Thriving in the Kingdom of Heaven Today. So that's all about living in the kingdom of God. Living
here and now.
Yeah, right now. And what that looks like for you, for your church. So be sure to pick up a copy and we'd love for you to check it out. All right, so let's get into today's question.
Hey guys, Byron here from Texas. It's been a long time since I asked a question, but I still listen to you guys every single week. And I think I have a pretty important question for you guys today. So our church plant is about 3 years old. We're running about 150 people, and we just secured our very first permanent location. We're moving from the bar into an old warehouse in the downtown area. Our grand opening is next week. And my question for you is, what comes next? I've heard that when a church plant secures their very first location, they double in size within the first 6 months. So my question is, what do we expect after the grand opening of our new building? I look forward to learning from you guys, listening along with the rest of our team. Any advice, any tips, anything you guys can offer would be of tremendous help. I look forward to learning from you. Thank you so much for New Churches Podcast, and I will let you know how it goes. Thanks.
Well, first of all,
hooray!
Cheer, cheer, cheer. Woohoo! All right, so that's awesome. In you're 3 years old, 150 people, and you're moving to your permanent, your first permanent location. Maybe first of many.
Could be.
As you continue to grow. So one thing
if
I'd...
that happens, is it permanent, Daniel?
What is?
Your first permanent locations and many more?
Well, is anything really permanent here in life?
No.
Until we get to our permanent home.
Word. Let's close in prayer.
All right. So the first thing that I would encourage you to expect is how to mobilize your volunteers differently. So you have a big team of setup and teardown, people who have been in it for 3 years, maybe some have been doing it for the entire 3 years, if not a little bit shorter. And they are probably thinking, wow, I can help set up once and now I'm finished. I will be on the temporary team and, you know, those moments where you have to clear all the chairs for some event and I'll help set it all back up again. But, you know, my job is done. So the first thing I would encourage you to do is find ways to celebrate them. Right? Don't just try to get them plugged in right away. I mean, you do want to do that. But first of all, thank them, celebrate them, throw them a party, lavish gifts and food on them. Just really help them know how appreciative you are and how church services, your church services, you probably couldn't have grown as much as you have without them. But then I would, in the same time, envision them to embrace what that now looks like for them moving forward, because really bringing it not back to, hey, we need your help because we need to grow or we need more volunteers or this or that, but no, bringing it actually back to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So in order for you to continue to grow in your relationship with God, you know, what are ways that you can continue to serve our body in that way?
You know, I do want to answer your question. So this is maybe a little bit of a longer episode than normal, but I want to echo a couple things that Daniel said. And Just highlight that as well. So you're talking about your core crew. Mm. So these are people that show up week in and week out, that serve early, early on a Sunday morning. They've been doing it now for 3 years. There will be an identity attached to that group.
That's true. Yeah.
They're going to be a solid group. They're going to be a good core group. The camaraderie of working shoulder to shoulder every week, all of that's going to be there. So part of their identity is going to be connected to that group, but also their identity to themselves and what value they bring to the church is going to be connected as well to that role. So you want to be careful to understand that it may be logical that they can just plug and play somewhere else, but to them, it's going to be more emotional than logical. So you want to recognize that. You do want to celebrate that. But really do consider what this might mean. The crazy thing is that a lot of times the people that have been serving in your church for a while, when they stop serving, they often leave and go to another church. Mm. Not joking. So be careful because, you don't lose.
Because of what?
Because of identity, because of being attached to it, because of, you know, just the idea of the value that they're adding to the church. They may go to another church and not serve, or they may go to another church and serve there as well. But I can't remember which research study it was, but it was one that came out of Lifeway Research, and that was one of the interesting findings that you're much more likely to lose someone who's serving when they stop serving than a regular attendee.
That's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
And I do think it's at least somehow tied to identity. Okay. So all that being said, definitely figure out a way to celebrate and connect and almost retrain that crew. Mm-hmm. If you can get them, you can identify one or two ministry areas in particular to help them get to. That's good because, you know, it'll be, at least they'll have some camaraderie still with that group. They'll always be a part of that crew. Mm. They'll always have a special affinity for each other. All right. All that being said, the big thing that I would have you do is practice saying one word. No. Practice saying no a lot, because there have been people that have been pining and waiting for this permanent facility for a long time because they want to have this ministry that meant a lot to them at some church prior, or they have this ministry in mind that they want to do, or now that we have a permanent facility, we can fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Practice saying no a lot. Mm. That is not the things that are going to make you double by adding new ministries. It's going to be things that distract and things that keep you from doing some of the absolutely essential things well.
And it's easy to say no when the ministry idea sucks, right? But there's going to be a lot of good ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Good ideas. But every time you say yes to something, that means there's going to be a corresponding no later on down the road.
Yeah, when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you say yes to too many things, then you can't do anything well. And so the key thing is, you know, when we think about the church and what we're supposed to be doing, it is, oh goodness. I mean, you know, we could go into purpose driven if we wanted to, but the big purpose of the church is to make disciples. Mm. And so we want to strip back anything that doesn't do that. So do classes do that? Well, it depends on the class. Some classes are more based on affinity than they are helping somebody grow in their relationship with Christ. And do we need some affinity-based things like parenting and women's and men's? Sure, we need something, perhaps, but maybe not in the very beginning unless you already have that. I would say the greatest thing that you can do, the stickiest thing that you can do, is connect someone to community. So really think about your groups. I can remember when we launched Arlington, that thing started out with two services, and we went from having, we thought we were good. We had 18 groups or 18 new leaders ready to go, and we ended up with 46 groups in the first 90 days.
Wow.
How did we do that? Well, we established link groups. So it was, hey, can you give me 6 to 8 weeks to lead a group, or, hey, we don't have a leader. Can you lead it for 6 to 8 weeks? You know, something like that. We did offer them some training, but we relied heavily on the curriculum to help them process. Again, you've heard me talk about it before. If you can find good and godly people that can work with a good curriculum, then you're going to get a good result, because all they're doing is guiding the conversation. So think about that. Think about the core essentials of your ministry. Say no. Say, hey, you know, for the first year, these are the things that we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on doing them really well. We want to understand what God is doing in this new facility, what new work he's bringing to us now, and then we'll evaluate that and decide what ministries we want to support it. I mean, there's a dozen different ways that you can say no, but man, you know, really be laser focused on getting in and making that your number one thing, because you may have to add another service.
Yeah, no, that's a good word. So with Arlington then, I'm curious, is it that people weren't, they just didn't want to be in a group beforehand, or you just had so many new people?
No, we had so many new people.
Okay. That came from where?
That came from the existing people, the excitement that it was. I mean, it's the same thing.
Like people inviting friends?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, so the reason why it doubles is because everybody's excited about the new permanent facility, and they start talking about it.
Yeah.
And they start, you know, they get really excited about it. So be intentional about equipping your people to share about it, to invite their friends. Make sure that you're ready for guests.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're ready for guests, because, you know, you can expect to double, but you better also expect guests and act like and come at it from that posture.
And a lot and more frequent guests.
Yes.
Because even for my, one of the campuses at our church right now, I don't know if we doubled in 6 months, but we have doubled in a couple of years since moving in, because we were in a school and we were in a school for about 4 years. And when we went, when we bought a warehouse and we redid it and moved in, I mean, yeah, we got way more new visitors. And I know there are people who stopped going to the church because it was in a school. And then they're like, oh, they came back once we got into a new building.
Right.
And then we recently tore out the back wall because we've been at capacity, added probably at least another 150 seats and got nice seats instead of kind of plastic chairs.
Uh-huh.
So it's the whole idea of you don't need to go all out right at the beginning. We really wanted to scale that. And even this last Sunday, I mean, yeah, we had empty seats here and there, but it looked really packed. So it's cool to see the growth that does happen with permanency.
And to be able to celebrate that growth.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the way that you guys constructed your facility was awesome in that you can expand. And each time you expand, there's an opportunity to celebrate, create excitement and growth. And so, I mean, I think that's very wise and something that's needed, very needed when you're moving in.
All right. Well, Byron, the last thing I'd say is just keep on casting vision, keep on celebrating, keep on helping your entire church realize that things are not finished, right? You are not done. This is not the finish line because you finally have a permanent facility. But no, this is actually the starting point to establishing even greater of a presence in your community, and to encourage your church to just continue to invite and really call them to a higher vision than just let's fill this building or let's, you know, start another service or let's, you know, don't make that the vision that you're casting to.
Okay, the last thing I would say is, so if you follow me at all on Twitter, I do these 90-second things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got this one on stock and flow, which is really boring. It's the video isn't boring, but the concept of strategic thinking is often boring to pastors. But it's a bathtub analogy, and it's talking about how much water you have flowing in, how much water you're flowing out, is what the level is.
Mm.
So if we think of something like that in church attendance, you are going to have a lot of people flow in. Be sure that you're measuring also the people that are flowing out. Be sure that these new people that come and visit your church, if they decide not to attend your church, it's not because we neglected following up, or it's not because we didn't think through the process. So you're going to have an opportunity to capture a lot of people early. And I would just encourage you to be as intentional as possible to make sure that you have a plan to follow up with those people, and you're measuring it. So you're saying, oh, this family came, you know, did they come this month? Mm. And if not, why not? And have we reached out? But just make sure you have a plan for all those new people coming in so you don't have a massive drain going out.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for listening in. Hey, if you haven't yet texted the word new churches, that's one word, to the number 888-111, be sure to do that to get 5 free books on church planting and multiplication. And lastly, as a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, we wanted to ask and encourage you to check out the EST podcast. So this is one hosted by Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King. Recently, they've talked about the post-Christian context, serving in it, leading team meetings, and ministry on call. So just look up the word EST, or the letters EST, on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.